Hey there, I'm Amy Chen.
And I'm Matt Kiefer.
We're both data journalists at WBEZ, and the question this week is right up our alley.
A Curious City listener had a question about dogs in Chicago. Specifically, what are the most popular breeds?
Yeah, there's a lot of data to unpack here. We looked into the numbers, and spoiler, it's the pit bull. But there's more to the story, and we want to tell you about the reasons why the American Pit Bull Terrier and other bully breeds are so popular, and the impact that it has on the larger shelter system.
By the way, Amy, are you a dog person or a cat person?
Actually, I'm more of a cat person. I've fostered 16 cats now. Yeah.
16. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. It's been like one or two at a time. It started as a pandemic hobby and I just kind of stuck with it. What about you?
Well, I'm more of a dog person. I have a cattle dog pit bull mix named Cooper. I feel like a lot of people in the neighborhood have adopted dogs in the last couple of years.
I like dogs too, for the record. I like all animals. In this episode, we get into breed differences by neighborhood, the fascinating world of dog DNA, and some more serious topics like the overcrowding of shelters and misconceptions about the most popular dog, pit bulls. That's all coming up after the break.
Curious City is supported by the Poetry Foundation, with a reminder that Chicago is the pulse of poetry. Visit the Poetry Foundation on the corner of Superior and Dearborn to explore their library of 40,000 books, attend public events, and view Frente a la Vida, Facing Life, a striking multidisciplinary art exhibition by Chicago artist Victoria Martinez. Learn more at poetryfoundation.org.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
So, Amy, right before Valentine's Day this year, we went to a speed dating event in Chicago. It was at a brewery, they had a photo booth and a raffle.
Okay, wait, we have to clarify, it wasn't for humans, it was a puppy speed dating event.
Yep, that's right. People were here to meet puppies and decide if they wanted to adopt them. There was this litter, either Husky or Pyrenees, no one could quite tell for sure. They were found in a wood pile in Oklahoma during the polar vortex.
Whoa, glad they made it out.
Yeah, so here they are at this adoption event. People were cuddling with the puppies, lots of oohs and ahs all around. It was adorable. And that's where we met Kate Northington. She's a dog mom to a 3-year-old poodle named Phoebe.
We live in Avondale-ish, and there are just so many poodles. A lot of families with poodles. A lot of people who have multiple poodles. And I get it. They don't shed. They're fun to be around. It's amazing.
So being data journalists, it got us wondering, is there a good data source on dogs in Chicago? And to our listener question, what are the most popular dog breeds?
So after some research, we found out there is a lot of data. Well, there's no definitive list of who owns what dogs, but Chicago does require owners to register their dogs. And you have to provide info about where you live, your dog's breed, and vaccinations.
That sounds like good data to me. So we submitted a Freedom of Information Act request with the clerk's office for all available dog registration records. And what we found was, besides mixed breeds, the top dogs are pit bulls.
We already knew that.
Labrador retrievers.
Yep.
German shepherds. Golden doodles.
So that's a combination of golden retriever and poodle, right?
Right. And Shih Tzus. After that, there was a laundry list of hundreds of other breeds.
Golden retrievers.
Mixed terriers.
Australian cattle dogs.
That's my dog.
Mohair hair chihuahuas.
Yorkshire.
Okay, you get the point. We also found that the most common breeds differ a lot depending on what neighborhood you live in. So pit bull owners tend to live in neighborhoods on the south and west sides, like Chicago Lawn, Humboldt Park, and Auburn Gresham, whereas Labrador Retriever owners live mostly on the north side, in Lincoln Park, Lakeview, and Logan Square. And as for poodles and doodles, Kate, our poodle mom, isn't wrong. They largely live on the north side, too. In fact, the zip code that covers Avondale and Irving Park ranks third highest out of all Chicago zip codes for the most poodles. Apparently, owners there registered 362 poodle and doodle mixes. So how accurate is this data? I mean, do people always know exactly what kind of dog they have? And what about mixed breeds?
It's easy to misidentify a dog. So we talked to an expert at a dog DNA testing company.
Despite having been in this industry and been in this business and this profession for 30 years, I don't think I'm particularly good at identifying breeds.
David Haworth is a longtime veterinarian with a PhD in physiology. He's also the executive vice president of research and development at Embark, a dog DNA testing company that will tell you the exact genetic makeup of your dog. Think of it like Ancestry.com or 23andMe, but for dogs.
The problem is that we're identifying any animal, any dog breed from its phenotype, from the way it looks on the outside. And sometimes you have very dominant types of breeds in terms of the way that they make the animal look that are not actually making up the majority of the dog.
Of course, breed isn't everything.
Knowing where their genetic lineage is useful. However, it is in no shape or form a guarantee that an animal is going to behave or look or do anything like the archetypal purebred of that.
Embark gave us a look at their dog DNA data for Chicago. The sample is limited in that not everyone buys a test kit for their dog. The top breeds in Chicago, according to Embark's list, were American Pitbull Terriers, again, Labrador Retrievers, German Shepherds, Australian Cattle Dogs, and Chihuahuas. In fact, half of all dogs listed by Embark in Chicago have DNA from at least one of several breeds they consider to be pit bulls. So two different lists, one is city dog licenses, the other is a bunch of genetic tests. And pit bulls, the star of today's show, still come up on top.
Back at Puppy Speed Dating, we talked to Abby Matsky. She's the shelter manager at Chicago Canine Rescue, which organized that adoption event.
Well, pit bulls, I always say, are Chicago's dog.
Abby actually has two pit bulls of her own. The data confirms what she suspected all along.
Everybody loves them. They're definitely the dogs that's getting adopted the most in shelters right now, but that also could be skewed because there are a lot of pit bulls in shelters.
Part of the reason for that is people are breeding and selling them, too.
Yeah, so there's a lot of pit bulls in Chicago and a lot of other cities. Usually, pit bulls in city areas tend to be the most common dog for, like, backyard breeding situations. And then you tend to see a lot of these pit bulls where they either end up in the shelter system because they went to sell those dogs, couldn't sell them, and then just pass them off to the shelter, which I see all the time.
After the break, we'll hear more about pit bulls and why they're so prevalent throughout the city, including the shelter system.
Curious City is supported by the Poetry Foundation, with a reminder that Chicago is the pulse of poetry. Visit the Poetry Foundation on the corner of Superior and Dearborn to explore their library of 40,000 books, attend public events, and view Frente a la Vida, Facing Life, a striking multidisciplinary art exhibition by Chicago artist Victoria Martinez. Learn more at poetryfoundation.org.
We wanted to find out more about the number one breed in Chicago, pit bulls, and so we ended up in a place that has a ton of them, animal control.
Things are busy as usual at the city shelter. They take in strays and animals that people just drop off.
We're here to meet with Armando Tejeda. He's the public information officer, and he's worked at the city shelter for 10 years.
Real quick, if you want to just go to my office a second. So the FOIA that you requested was...
Armando starts giving us a rundown of the stats.
So at the moment right now, as of this morning, we have 320 animals here. 237 of those are dogs. For the most part,
it's a dizzying number of animals that come into the shelter every day. Sometimes people just leave their dogs at the front door. Armando told us that some have even tied dogs to the fence overnight.
Most of the dogs here are pit bulls. Animal care and control call them bully breeds, a catch-all term that includes several breeds, including American Pit Bull Terriers, Staffordshire Terriers, and also dogs that just look like pit bulls with larger, kind of blocky heads. Bully breeds make up nearly half of all dogs that have come through the shelter in the last decade.
We ask Armando if he has any idea why so many bully breeds come in.
I honestly think it's just what's popular in the area at the time. Before bully breeds, it was Rottweilers. There was Rottweilers in pretty much every municipal shelter coming in. When 101 Dalmatians came out, Dalmatians were pretty big in shelters, believe it or not. And German Shepherds had their run for a while, too.
Armando has a soft spot for pit bulls. And unfortunately, he says the shelter sees a lot of them because of overbreeding.
Unfortunately, I think backyard breeding has a lot to do with it, too. You might have someone that's breeding their dog insanely trying to look for a certain color or something.
So there's a lot of pit bulls in Chicago, and a lot of them end up at animal control.
Right. They hold dogs for at least a week, but they try to keep dogs they think are adoptable for as long as they can. The reality is they have limited space, and the shelter constantly has to make some difficult decisions.
If we have so many dogs and more dogs coming in, we do need space. We do euthanize. Usually euthanasia is determined by behavior of the dog. Is the dog suffering here? We might have a dog that's here 3 months and it's just not doing well.
Not only are pit bulls the most common type of dog at animal control, they're also euthanized at higher rates. They are 3 times as likely to be put down than other dogs. Over the past decade, animal control has put down more than 11,000 bully breed dogs. That's 1 out of every 3 pit bulls that came through the doors.
Armando starts going through records of dogs he wants to consider placing with a rescue partner. The stakes are high. Getting a dog out of a kill shelter means they'll have a better chance of getting adopted. About half of all dogs and a third of pit bulls at the shelter have gotten transferred to a rescue in the last 10 years. He takes a look at a profile sheet for a pit mix named Gobstopper. He's got perky ears and a dark gray patch over his right eye.
So originally when we got Gobstopper, it was November of last year. He was in a horrible condition. He was found basically in an abandoned house. There were other animals there. It was a potential cruelty case. As we looked at Gobstopper, he had bleeding paws, hurt tail.
Animal Care and Control got in touch with the owner and returned Gobstopper. But then about a month later, Gobstopper was found on the streets again and brought back to the shelter. They tried to get in touch with the owner, but never heard back. So he's been there for about 2 months now.
Armando takes us to the dog rooms where Gobstopper lives in his cage, alongside 40 other dogs in the same room.
A lot of these dogs, I think people got these dogs just because they liked them, but they didn't put any effort into training and things like that, so they gave up on these dogs too soon. And then they come here, and again, we have rooms that have anywhere from 35 to 40 dogs in them. So now these dogs are, they should be in the stage where we're trying to train them, but they're just hearing barking, and they only get out maybe once or twice a day for a walk in the backyard.
Out in the hallway, we noticed there are posters of some of the dogs that volunteers have made. They have descriptions of their personalities, fun facts, nicknames like Puppy Pudge. But you don't really notice a dog's personality when they're in their cages.
We see a whole new side of Gobstopper when Armando takes us outside to the yard to play with him. He is the sweetest dog. All he wants to do is munch on his squeaky toy. He sniffs at a visitor, Carrie Panzone. She runs the intake facility with the animal rescue group, one tail at a time. That's a no-kill animal rescue shelter. She's scoping out Gobstopper, trying to figure out if he's a good fit for the rescue. This is Gobstopper's big moment, a chance to get out of animal control and into a rescue shelter.
We are a all-breed, all-species rescue, and most of our dogs and cats come to us from other municipal shelters, mostly from Chicago Animal Care and Control, which is why we're here today, to find some dogs to bring into our program.
That day, Carrie only had room for 4 dogs. It's hard not to take all the dogs they meet, but they had a really good feeling about Gobstopper.
He has been very social with all the people. We watched his leash tests, and he was playful and appropriate with other dogs, so that's kind of all we need to know. And he's cute as heck.
And with that, Gobstopper makes the cut. He wins Carrie over, leaves animal control, and is on his way to a rescue shelter.
So Matt, the shelter folks and Armando at animal control kept mentioning this phrase, backyard breeders.
Yeah, I noticed that too. So I decided to see how common it is for people to sell pit bulls on the internet in the Chicago area. And here's what I found. Facebook. Facebook Marketplace prohibits animal sales. But there are dogs posted for sale in private Facebook groups. Craigslist also prohibits animal sales. But people sell them there anyway. There are also websites dedicated to selling dogs, usually for a fee. I searched for pit bulls for sale in Chicago and found hundreds of listings. On the high end, I saw pit bulls advertised for up to $1,300 for dogs with specific color markings. I also saw dogs listed for free, where the owners are just trying to unload a litter of puppies.
That's a lot of dogs. So is this regulated in any way?
These websites don't require sellers to be licensed breeders, and there's no way to tell how diligent the sellers are about placing dogs in the right home. We contacted the Illinois Department of Agriculture, which regulates pet shops in Illinois. In a statement, a spokesperson said the state's Animal Welfare Act covers brick-and-mortar stores, not private internet sales. But they said they do investigate complaints.
So if there's a high demand for pit bulls, and pretty much anyone can sell them on the internet,
we end up with a whole lot of pit bulls everywhere, in the dog registration data, in the DNA samples, and unfortunately at animal control, where they're getting euthanized at higher rates.
Which is a shame, because people who own pit bulls say they can be great pets in the right home. A few weeks after meeting Gobstopper, we wanted to check in on him and see how things were going at One Tail at a Time. But when we got there, he actually wasn't there. Turns out, he had made it out of the rescue shelter and was at his new foster home in Humboldt Park.
Sometimes he does fall down these stairs in the morning because he's so tired. Like to keep his ball up here because that's all he focuses on.
That's Liz Shock, Gobstopper's foster mom. She's leading him down the steps into her backyard where he can't wait to play fetch.
Good boy.
Liz stepped up to foster Gobstopper after meeting him during a volunteer shift at One Tail at a Time. She lost her dog Delia 2 years ago and wasn't sure if she'd be ready for another dog. But fostering Gobstopper felt right.
Yeah, he just kind of made his home here. It wasn't an adjustment period. Like, a lot of dogs have decompression periods or adjustment issues, and he immediately was like, nope, that's my chair, that's my water bowl, you're my people.
Last week, we heard back from Liz.
You know, I just want to know his story because he is so, so good. But you know what? His other story starts now.
His other story does start now. Because guess what? Liz is adopting Gobstopper. And his new name is Rigatoni.
Aw, good boy, Rigatoni. A true Chicago-style dog.
Thanks to Matt Kiefer and Amy Chin for reporting this week's episode. You can see all the dogs at Animal Care and Control that are up for adoption and find out more about volunteering at volunteer.chicagoanimals.org. You've probably heard the news that the Curious City podcast will be ending soon. But stay with us. Curious City will still be around as a short segment on the radio and at WBEZ.org. In the meantime, we want to hear from you. As we wrap up the podcast, we'd like you to share your favorite episodes or memories of Curious City. Record a short voice memo and send it to curiouscity@wbez.org. Curious City is a production of WBEZ Chicago and is part of the NPR network. The show is produced by Jason Mark and Joe Dassault. Maggie Civet is the digital and engagement producer. I'm editor Susie Ahn. Thanks for listening.
Rise and shy. WBEZ is serving local stories for breakfast every weekday morning from 5 to 11. Tune in on the WBEZ app to hear what Chicago's talking about as you start your day.